Hello, friend. You are listening to the Gateway Tipton podcast. This is the third episode in our G4 series from Munford. Jason teaches what it means to give. So let's get started. Hey, y'all. Kelly here. If this is your first time listening, we are so glad to have you, and thanks for stopping by. We publish new episodes every week for those that missed a message or just want to hear it again. For show notes and more information, check out gatewaytipton.com. Now, let's get to the message.
Well, all right. Week 3 of our G4 series. And today, we're going to talk about give. And if you remember the G4 series that we're going through, it's just a way for us to remember that there's a path, there's some things that we can do, some things that we can follow, things that we can practice that lead us to spiritual growth and lead us to where there's fruit in our lives, where we can actually follow after the Lord. And you know, we've talked about before, like, well, okay, we know Jesus, well, what do we do next? This is one of those processes, this G4, to help us remember those things. And we're doing this as a church, and we're focusing on this as a church because we don't want to be a mile wide and an inch deep. You know, we don't want to look impressive or look like we know we got, you know, we know everything, or we look like we're religious, but when you really get down into it, we don't really know much. We just look good, right? So we want to follow the Lord. We want to follow Him. And so this G4 series is just a way to help us understand, just to remind us of what we're doing and how we're going to do it. And so the first two G's, if you remember, the first week we talked about gather, and then last week we talked about grow. And so gather, it's worship. It's when we come together corporately like this, and it's a worship service. We worship the Lord together. And it's also something that you do on your own when you spend time in the Word. You spend time in prayer, like your quiet time. And then the second G, which was grow, just talks about how the Bible teaches, you know, we're not supposed to be babies, spiritual babies forever. We're supposed to mature. And if you remember the verse that we used, God has a plan for us, and that's to conform us, to make us look just like His Son, Jesus. And we do that best together. We grow together, and that's God's plan. So as we dwell on His Word and as we live it out in relationship with each other, as we obey those one another commands, you know, bear with one another, love with one another, love one another, forgive one another, put up with each other, those things, as we live those things out, then we grow. It's the way God designed us for. So as we gather in worship and as we grow in relationship with the Lord and with each other, it's the first two steps in walking towards Jesus. It's how we were created. And if you remember last week, we talked about we're just better together, aren't we? We're better together because that's how He made us. So another way, a plug, and I'm going to plug small groups for a long time. Another way for us to grow together, we talked about, is being involved in a small group, being involved past Sunday mornings, past, you know, just gathering together. This is so important, but it's equally as important to get involved in a group that knows you and that will walk with you through life. So small groups, we're going to have some information on that later, but I really would like you guys to pray through and consider just coming and checking it out, being a part of one. So today, the third G, we're going to be talking about give. And I know that we've announced this, and so some of you probably conveniently left your wallets and your checkbooks in your car. Left them. But no, don't worry about that. We're not really focusing on money today. This is not what give is about. And it's part of it, this whole idea of giving in context of spiritual growth. It includes our money. But today we're more going to talk about our gifts and what God has given and how we can use those for the body of Christ. So we're going to be in the book of Ephesians today, Ephesians chapter 4. And as we grow, remember last week we talked about grow, as we grow, as we mature, then what happens is we start to realize that it's not really so much about us like it used to be before we knew Jesus. It's really about others. And God has uniquely gifted us to bless others, to be involved with others. So the book of Ephesians, it's broken down into two parts. I'm going to flip over there too. Ephesians chapter 4. It's broken down in, the book of Ephesians is broken down into two parts. So the first three chapters, it really deals with the things that God has done for us and how God loved us when we really weren't that lovable. And it talks about how he reconciled us to God through Christ. It talks about all these cool things and things that they're just essential. And then the second part of Ephesians chapters 4-6, it sort of shifts to, all right, now as a result of these things, as a result of what God has done for us, how do we live that out? What does that look like? What are the things that we need to do? How do we need to respond to these things? And the very first thing he says in chapter 4, it's this idea of unity. We talked about that last week. This idea of being together, being unified. And he says that the church has to do this. And the way that we do this is by being humble to each other, by loving each other, being patient, bearing with one another, another one of those one another things. And then when you get to verse 7, he starts talking about, in the midst of all this unity, in the midst of all this being together, that even though we're together, we're still different. And God has uniquely gifted us that way. And we all have different roles to play in the body of Christ. And this is one thing I'm still just learning and understanding about really what that means. So for a long time, my understanding of church really was, you know, like the pastor did everything. And we just kind of came and were taught and we're better for it somehow. And that was kind of it until next Sunday, you know. But let's go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7-16. Now, there's a lot going on here in this chunk of scripture we're about to pull out, and we're not going to get to all that today. We're going to focus on a few things. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7-16. Here we go. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Verse 9, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean, except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Excuse me. This is a really critical teaching here. It's a really important reminder for us, church, to remember that we don't need to waste our gifts. We don't need to waste what God has given us. And you guys can probably all think of somebody that has potential, can't you? Maybe somebody in the past that has had potential, and you see it in their lives. Man, if they would just do these things, they could go so far in life. They are so gifted. Or maybe somebody that's been through a certain life experience, and you think, wow, they could really minister to this person or to these people over here. But instead, it kind of seems like they kind of squander that. They squander it and they waste it. And you could probably pick out a lot of people that have potential but not, we'll call it actual. You know, don't actually do it. Maybe you're thinking about an athlete. Maybe you know somebody personally that is just gifted. Athletically, they could, like the guy from Napoleon Dynamite, he could throw the football over the mountain over there. Maybe y'all know somebody like that was gifted in running or sports. Or maybe you know an artist and they just have this gift, this talent. Maybe you know somebody that's smart, you guys who teach or have taught. I know that you guys have run across so many people who you know if they just applied themselves. I mean, you see this spark in them. You know that they could go a long ways. And we all know people who just, all these things come easy to them. It's so easy. They don't have to try. They don't have to practice. They have all this potential, and it's so easy. And if they would just apply themselves, they could do great things. And we all know somebody that is like that, who has kind of squandered those gifts, who maybe isn't using them like they maybe should. And eventually over time what happens is they're not even doing those things anymore. You know, they're doing something else. And we always have that thought of, what if? What if they would have done this? What could they have done? How far could they have gone? Or maybe even when it comes to spiritual things, what could this person have done for other people? What could they have done for the kingdom of God? You know, there's people that I think about that are just, I mean, God has gifted them. And if they would just let God have their lives, I mean, they're Billy Grahams in training, you know, really. So we all know people like that. Maybe even you've been that person before. Every single church, every single group of believers, everyone who follows Christ, we have the danger of falling into this category of having great potential of the things that God has given us, but sitting on those gifts like they're nothing, not using them. Do y'all know what I'm saying? So in this text, it says that we've been given some pretty incredible stuff by God. All of us have, every single one of us in here. And there's a danger that if we don't live this stuff out, we'll always be those people that just have potential and not actual. And then one day we're going to look back and we're going to go, man, what if I would have done this? Or we even think about, you know, one day I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish this. But then it never comes around. It never comes to fruition because we don't take the steps necessary to do that. And I know you guys agree with this, but I don't want to be one of those people thinking at the end of my life, what if? What if? What if I'd actually cared? What if I'd actually really shared with people? What if I'd actually got involved? Instead of just talking about the ministry, what if I had actually done it? And these are real questions we need to ask ourselves, men and women, because we're all called to something. We're all called to ministry, to on mission. Well, looking at Ephesians chapter 4, right here, there's two things that we're given. In verses 7 and 8, the first thing, it's individual gifts. Verses 7 and 8, it's the individual gifts that we're given. And then if you look in verses 11 through 12, we're given spiritual leaders. So the first part of 4, you remember, it talks about being unified, and we are a unified people. We just have so many different gifts, so many abilities. We're one body. I think that's a perfect picture of the body of Christ. We're one body, but different parts. Somebody's a finger, somebody's the eye, somebody's the knee. One body with different parts moving in a direction. And then here in Ephesians chapter 4, it says some things that may be a little, maybe not clear or maybe confusing to you. It says he ascended. What he's actually doing here, it says that in verse 8, he says, therefore, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. What this is actually talking about, it's a quote from Psalm 68, and it's this idea of a conquering king. So it's this idea of a conquering king who is just victorious in battle, and when he's victorious in battle, he's going back, and as he's going, he's giving the spoils of victory to his people. Do you get the idea of that? And it's just a picture. Jesus ascended back to the Father after the resurrection. He is a statement of victory. He won the battle, and as he did that, he gave gifts to you and I, people who know him, people who love him. And then it says in Psalm 68, it talks about how he descended to the lower parts. And really just simply what that means is that Jesus came to earth. He became flesh. He became man. And then he died. And then he was resurrection. And the resurrection is what changed it all for all of us, men and women. This event that changes everything. And as he ascended, it was his victory march, just like Psalm 68 talks about. A conquering king is his victory march. And he defeated the greatest enemies. This is huge, men and women. He defeated the greatest enemies that you and I will ever face. The payment, the shackles, the chains of sin and death and guilt and shame. He broke those because we can know him. And he silenced Satan. And in doing that, he's given each of us gifts. And some of you guys may have a background in church, and you know, maybe you've taken a spiritual gift test and all that. And we'll talk about that maybe just a little bit in a second. But the other gift that he's given us here is spiritual leaders. And spiritual leaders are part of the church. They're part of the body. They're the part that helps equip you guys and walk, not you guys, us. They're spiritual leaders that help walk us through things and help us grow so that we can minister and that we can have an impact on the kingdom of God like he's called us to. So, in this passage, talking about spiritual gifts, Paul doesn't actually lay them out. You know, saying here's a list of spiritual gifts. Now, they're laid out in other places of Scripture, like Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you should go there and check those out. But this passage specifically is not so much talking about each individual gift that we have. It's more talking about the purpose and the function. You know, it talks about why we have these gifts. Why has God gifted us in certain areas? And why are we different in that area? And if we went a step further, you could even say that, you know, God has given us different personalities, right? Some of you guys are weird. Some of you guys are funny looking. Some of you guys are more quiet. Some of you guys are very good at just never meeting a stranger. Some of you guys are good at just empathizing with people. You know, just being there, just listening, being that person. All of us are different. We're all unique. God has done that on purpose. And he uses the talents that he's given us, our life experiences that he's given us. He wants to use it all for him. Even the personalities that we have, God wants to use it. And the purpose that he wants to use that for is to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church. And it's not Gateway Baptist. It's the church. You guys are the church. We are the church. Our goal in life is to be made more like Jesus. And the mission that he has called us to is to bring those people, bring other people in who aren't the church, who don't know him. Bring them in. Build up the church. That's our goal and that's our mission. And you know, he's given that to all of us. Going back to the spiritual leaders, he's given us spiritual leaders to help support the people of God, to help equip them for ministry. And you know, we all know this. Probably everyone in here knows that we're called to do something. Jesus has stuff for us to do, right? You believe that? Jesus has something for us to do, some kind of mission, some kind of ministry. And sometimes, and I'm speaking to myself here too, so I know this, sometimes we like the idea of ministry. You know, we like the thought of ministry. But when it actually comes to doing the ministry, sometimes it's a little different. You know, sometimes we dream about it, we plan, but we don't actually follow the steps that we need to actually doing it. And there's all kinds of people in this world. We could just say this for making it work's sake. We have dreamers, we have thinkers, and we have doers. There's a movie, and I just can't get past this without saying it. Has anybody ever seen What About Bob? He says, there's only two types of people in this world, those who like Neil Diamond and those who don't. You know, that's just funny to me. There's dreamers, there's thinkers, and there's doers. There's people who dream, wow, what could God do? How could God use me to impact this group of people or to impact this town or this street? And they think about it and they get excited. They think, wow, what could God do? And then there's a step past that. It's the thinkers. Okay, God could do that. Now, what steps do I need to take to get that done? And they start laying out a plan. Well, I need to do this. We need to do this. We need to do this. And then there's a step past that, and that's the doers. And sometimes, at some point in our lives, we all fall in one of those categories. In some area of our lives, we dream, we think big. Sometimes we stay there, though, and it doesn't move past that. Sometimes we dream big, and then we think, how can we make this happen? And we plan it out, but sometimes we get stuck there. And then there's the times where we just say, I'm all in, Lord, and we actually do the ministry that God has called us to do. The truth is, we do love the idea of ministry more than we like the act of ministry. We like the idea of what it could be more than actually getting our hands dirty. So we like talking about what God could do, and we have all these ideas, but it's a lot easier to talk about it than it is to do it right. Like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. He talked a big game, but he didn't really follow through with it. He was making those videos, though. He was going to get seen by somebody. So let me ask you this, church, and this is a question for us that we need to answer. I need to answer. So we think and we dream, but are we doing the things that it takes to see those things fulfilled? Are we following the Lord in such a way that we're those dreams that he's called us to, the ministry that he's called us to? Are we doing those things? Are we playing our role in the church and the body? Because here's the thing, it's way harder to actually do ministry, right? Ministry is hard. Anybody who's been, and I'm not talking about preachers necessarily only. I'm just talking about the body of Christ. If you've served anywhere, ministry is hard. You know, a lot of us want to do ministry unless that ministry is stacking chairs, right? You know, a lot of us want to do ministry unless it's something that nobody's ever going to know. You know, why would I pick up that bottle of water over there? It's just, I don't feel like bending over. Nobody's ever going to see that, and we walk past it. But, you know, a lot of times we want to do something. We like the idea of doing something, but we don't actually follow through because it is hard. And the reason that ministry is hard is because it's messy. And you say, well, what does that mean? How is ministry messy? Well, it's messy because guess what? We are called to minister to the people of this world. And this world, it's broken. And you guys all know what I mean. You guys who know Christ, you still trudge through this life sometimes. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. But before you knew Christ, you knew who you used to be. This world, it's broken and it's rough. And there's real things, there's real problems in this world that we're called to minister to. And sometimes those things aren't easy. Some of those things are tough. So as we minister, you know, you may look at the people around you that you're ministering to and go, you know, they're not just like me, you know. You may even see the people in the church and you go, wow, even people in the church have sin. Can you guys believe that? People in the church have sin? Well, yeah, you can, because you do, don't you? That wasn't a stab, by the way. It was just pointing out that sounded like a stab. I wasn't meaning that. All I'm saying is you know who you are apart from Christ. Ministry is messy because there's real issues. There's real problems that we as a church body have to walk through together. And then there's real problems that those who don't know Christ, we have to minister to them. We have to pull them in. And sometimes, as you guys all know, you guys all have stories. It can get messy. Sometimes when we minister too, you know, people don't respond the way that we think they should. You know, sometimes they don't say, thank you for doing that. Thank you for helping me in this way. Or thank you for praying for me. Thank you. Sometimes we don't get that thank you like we think they should. Sometimes people get offended. Has anybody ever been offended when you've ministered to them? It happens. Sometimes people don't appreciate you. Sometimes people reject what you do for them. What you do is not ever good enough. All you're doing is just trying to minister to them. And it gets hard. Ministry is hard. It's messy. And it's messy sometimes for us because what it does is it brings some stuff to the surface in us that maybe we didn't realize was there. You know, as we begin to minister to people in certain situations, maybe all of a sudden what we thought maybe we were good at, maybe we're not equipped to handle that situation. Maybe in the midst of ministering, you kind of start to see your own insecurities, and you think, well, maybe I'm not as strong as I thought maybe I was. Ministry's hard. Ministry's messy. And sometimes in the midst of ministry, the person that we're reaching out to, and I know personal stories from some of you guys, the person that you're ministering to, you feel called to minister to, they won't even call you back. You know, you send them a really sweet text and they won't text you back. Sorry, Farrell. I'm sorry about that, by the way. But, you know, you get in that mindset of, man, I'm ministering to these people, and you just want them just to know how much you care and love them. And sometimes they act like they don't. And sometimes we get discouraged about that. And, you know, the dream that we had about how this was going to go, about how this ministry was going to go, all of a sudden it turns out that it's not exactly what we had dreamed and envisioned. It's not actually happening like we had thought. And really the temptation there is to kind of back out. And a lot of people do back out of ministry. Well, I'm not very much appreciated, or I'm not having the impact that I really thought that I would. Ministry's messy. Ministry's hard. But I do have some encouragement for you. And that's this, that ministry will always be messy. So encouraging. Barnabas. Ministry will always be messy. When you think about it, Jesus' ministry was always messy. His ministry to us was messy. Here's the thing, God sent Jesus at the perfect time, with the perfect plan to the perfect place, exactly where God wanted him to be, and Jesus still had to come do the work of the ministry. He put on flesh, he got into the mess of this life, and ultimately he died ministering to us, to all of us. So Jesus, he got to see a lot of people just completely changed. He got to see people healed. He got to see people turn from their sin to a relationship with God. But at the same time, he also saw a lot of the people that he loved just reject him, call him crazy. You know, there were times in the Gospels where we see him just with great joy with his disciples and with people. We see him also weeping at the death of Lazarus, if you remember that story. We see him surrounded by his disciples and people that knew him and during those happy, loving, supportive times. And then we see Judas and Peter and really the rest of the disciples turn their backs on him right at really the most important part where Jesus could have needed them. They walked away from him. So Jesus' ministry, it had all these highs, it had all these lows, but he was Jesus and it was still messy for him. Do you see what I'm saying? And you're going, this is not really encouraging at all. But why would we think that ministry would be any different for us if it wasn't for the Son of God? And I'm not trying to scare you off from ministry. We're getting to a point here, you'll see. So I can just imagine, if I could paraphrase, Jesus says this, as the Father sent me into this mess, so I'm sending you into this mess. I'm going to send you into the lives of other people, some of which are hurting even in this town, in this building, in this place. I'm sending you into the lives of these children, these youth, and you're going to build up my church. Because here's the danger, church. We can't be a church that has all these gifts that we sit on. And here's been such an important part, or important point. We can't be a church who sits on the gifts that God has given us, because the enemy is out there and he is devastating people's lives. This world, it is broken. This world and Satan, he is devastating people's lives. And you and I are called to be the ones that say, hey, guess what? Jesus already took care of all this. Come to Jesus. All right. You know, as I think about this, there's a lot of you guys who are already ministering. There are. There's a lot of you guys who are already loving on people, who are already involved in people's lives, who are walking with people through good times and hard times. You guys are actively sharing your faith. You're actively trying to meet needs of people just to point them to Jesus. And I'm so grateful to be involved in a church like that, that gets it, that understands, that follows Jesus in this thing that he's called us to do. Here's one piece of advice that I just need to give you guys. Don't let the brokenness of this world discourage you from doing that. Don't let the hurt that is in this world discourage you from ministering to people like we're called to do. Because here's the deal. It's in the mess of all of the ministering, it's in the mess of it all, that we see God's power. Do you agree with that? It's in the mess of it all that we see God's power. There's so many stories in the Bible about Jesus and his followers, and if they would have just walked away from the mess, they never would have seen God do the things that he did. You think about just a simple one. You think about when Jesus had the loaves and the fish, but he didn't have many of them, but when he looked out, there's 5,000 men out there, not counting women and children. It would have been easy just to listen to the disciples and go, you know what, let's just do this another day. Let's prepare a little bit more. But instead, Jesus said, well, this is what God's given, and this is what we're going to do. And that was a huge miracle. You think about the woman at the well who her reputation wasn't that great, you remember? You know, she had a bunch of husbands, and the man that she was with now, they were living like husband and wife, but it wasn't her husband. And Jesus was there at the well, and he could have just very well gone, I'm just tired. I just don't feel like it today. But instead, he got in the mess with her. He talked to her. He spoke to her like she's a human, because she is. And he didn't say, you're not like me. You got to get right before you talk to me. He just talked to her. And what happened? She turned from death to life. She had a relationship with God. She had a relationship with God when she was walking to death. And it didn't just stop with her. She went back to the town and told everybody what happened. Think about Zacchaeus in the tree. Jesus could have just walked right past Zacchaeus. No big deal. Nobody ever would have thought a thing about it. But instead, he stopped and he called him down, this guy that everybody hated. Everybody hated him because of his job and because he ripped people off. And he was just a no good, sorry sucker. And Jesus said, come down. And what happened? Zacchaeus repented. And not only did he just repent, he paid back people, the people that he had ripped off. And you know what? As much as his reputation had been bad about him ripping people off, man, how much was his testimony even more so? God's testimony in his life when he said, I did this and I was wrong and I'm going to make this right. Man, I just have a feeling that Zacchaeus didn't stop there. Even though we don't see much of him mentioned in the Bible anymore, I just have a feeling that Zacchaeus understood and that he was the one pointing others to Jesus. In the middle of all this mess, we got to remember that Jesus is the one doing the work. So today, if you're not part of building up the body of Christ, using your gifts, whatever they are, I just want to encourage you guys to be. And you may have those thoughts of, you know, I don't really have much to offer. I don't really know what you're talking about. My life really doesn't really line up as a minister of Christ. So guess what? The moment you decide to follow Christ, that is the moment you are qualified to minister. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. What you have to be is somebody who loves Christ, who's willing to get involved in the ministry. Your ministry is where you are. It's your work. It's your family. It's right where you are. It's the influence that you have around you. That is your ministry, and that's the mission that you're called to. I encourage you guys, if you're not using your gifts to build up the body of Christ, to get involved with people through the mess, I encourage you guys to do that. Here's the best part about this whole ministry thing. Is as we minister, the benefit is we get to know Jesus in a greater way. God shows his strength. God shows his power. When you're in the middle of, just walking through some hard things with people, and you guys all have stories. You have stories of suffering and hurt and evil people doing evil things. And you see these situations, maybe you come across and they seem hopeless. And you just hear these stories, they just really rip your heart out. And they leave you thinking, you know, I don't really know what to do. I don't know how to respond. I don't know how to fix this. I'm not really sure what to do next. It's in the middle of these situations that we realize, man, this is where Jesus is. And this is what Jesus has called us to do. Jesus was faithful the whole time, wasn't he? In the middle of all the mess that he was in, he never ran. He always loved. In fact, he didn't run, and it cost him his life. He served us that much that he gave his life for us, that we can know God. You remember the story of when Peter walks on water? Remember, it was lightning, it was dark, it was storming, there was waves, there was wind, there was rain, all that. And he sees Jesus coming across, and he says, Jesus, call me out to you. And so he said, all right, come on. And so Peter got out of the boat, and in the midst of the storm, he was walking to Jesus. Excuse me. He was walking to Jesus, but then all of a sudden he gets distracted. Maybe the thunder clapped and there was a bright flash of lightning. Maybe the wind blew his hat off his head, and all of a sudden he got distracted. And you remember what happens? He starts to sink. He starts to fall. And Jesus reaches down and he grabs him and he saves him. You got to get this in your mind that when we want to quit, when we want to pull back from people, when we're scared about the ministry that God has given to us, when it just seems too overwhelming, when we have those thoughts of what in the world have I gotten myself into, when you don't know what to do, when you want to walk away, just remember this, that Peter, he didn't walk on the water because he wasn't scared. Just simply, he walked on the water because he had his eyes on Jesus. That's who he was focused on. And everything around him could have killed him. The lightning could have struck him. He could have gone under the water. Lots of things there could have killed him. But he wasn't focused on that in the middle of that storm, in the middle of that danger. He was focused on Jesus. And there's a great parallel to us, men and women. There's lots of things that are bigger than us in this world. In fact, most things in this world are bigger than us. But they're not bigger than Jesus. And in the midst of this storm, you know who wasn't scared? Jesus wasn't scared. In the midst of our storms and the mess, in the midst of this ministry, this messy ministry that we have, you know who doesn't doubt? You know who's not scared? You know who's not overwhelmed? It's Jesus. Who do we have our eyes fixed on? Last thing. If you look back in Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, here's one last promise Paul makes. And he says this, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." So as each one of us, as each part plays our role in the body of Christ, as we do our part, the result is the body grows. The body grows. We will, the hurt, the lost, the dying, we will pull them into this body and it will grow. We'll grow closer together and we'll grow, we'll be pulling them in from death to life. That's what we're called to do. So as we do our part, the body grows, but also the opposite of that is true. If there's someone who's not doing their part, the body cannot function the same, can it? So if there's somebody who's not playing the role that God has called us to, then we won't be growing. We won't be maturing like we should. We won't be leading others to Christ. The community, the unity that we have, it's not going to be as deep as it should be when we're not taking care of each other. So don't just be a dreamer, men and women. God has put you specifically somewhere, and he's put specific people in your lives. Don't just dream about what God could do through you. Don't just think about it either. Be a doer. Be all in. God, I'm yours. I'm scared. I don't feel like I'm very equipped to do this. But he is, and he lives in you. You know, I don't really know when we got this idea, whether it came from bad theology or bad preaching, but we had this idea that if you follow Jesus and you serve others, then your life gets easier. This may sound like a gloom and doom message, but it doesn't get easier. Man, I'm gonna go listen to this today and be sad. But no, it doesn't get easier. I'm just teasing. Usually when we follow Jesus, life does not get easier. In fact, a lot of times in some areas, it gets harder. But the difference is that we have the King of Kings, the Son of God. We have everything that he has given to us. We have the Holy Spirit. Now we are connected to the source, the one who is never scared, never anxious, the one who has equipped us to do the work. We're connected to him when we follow him. And in Mark, if you're taking notes, you can write this down and you can look at it in a minute. But all you guys are familiar with the passage. It's Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read it real quick. Mark chapter 8, 34 and 35. "And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it.'" What Jesus essentially said there is that there's more life in dying to yourself than you can find anywhere else. So men and women, be encouraged today. You follow Christ, it's probably going to get harder in some areas of your life. But at the same time, he's the one who equips you to do it. And at the same time, he is the one that's faithful, that's going to carry it through. And when we do what we're called to do, the body of Christ grows. We grow together. The lost world sees that. They know that God loves them. They want to be a part of that. Don't be intimidated. You don't have to go today, stand on Bill Street and just shout out the gospel to people. You don't have to go down to the music festival and jump up on stage in front of whoever's there and go, "Jesus loves you." That's not what I'm talking about doing. What I'm just talking about doing is you see your neighbor outside, go talk to him. "Hey man, can I pray for you in some way?" The people that are hurting that you know of, listen to their story. Sometimes people just need you to be there with them. And then as you see needs come up, just meet those needs if you can. If you can't, get involved with somebody that can. Don't be intimidated by what God's called you to do. We, as the body of Christ, we got to minister to where he has us. So won't you guys pray with me? Lord, there is no other journey that I would rather be on than following you. God, there's no one that I would rather know, and maybe more important, there's no one that I would rather know me other than you. And God, the beautiful thing as it comes to this series that we're going through is as we worship you, Lord, you're delighted and you give yourself more to us as we minister together, as we grow together in community, in unity, as we read your word together and we talk about it and we divide it. Lord, you grow us closer to you, grow closer to each other. And then, God, as we use the gifts that you've given us, the way that you've asked us to, where we are, then, God, you grow your body to look more like you want it to more, look more like Jesus. And so, God, I just pray, maybe somebody that you know heard what was said today, that, God, maybe you're on their heart. Maybe they're the person that says, you know what, I'm a thinker and I'm a dreamer, but I've not actually ever moved out of the way and just let you do the work in their lives. So God, I pray that today that people will, if there's anyone out here who is not ministering the way that you've called them to, God, help them understand today that it is what this life is about, is knowing you and letting you live through us to build up your church. Just ask us in your name.
Well, we hope you enjoyed today's message and want to subscribe. Then we want to meet you on social media. We're Gateway Tipton on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.